This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
If you've got your Bibles, just turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 16. Jesus has died, and then he was risen from the dead and appeared to the disciples. I'm going to read from verse 14. Later, he appeared to the 11, that's the 11 disciples, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Hallelujah. God confirms his word. How awesome it is to have a baptism service today and to see Cassandra and her daughter Tennille as well going through the waters of baptism in obedience to this very command where he says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." You know what? We've been singing about such an incredible salvation. You know, there is no other name that's been given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Must be saved. Every man must be saved. Every woman must be saved. And there is no other name given under heaven by which that can be done other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name. And I want today for our hearts to burn again. How many have been baptized in this place today? How many of you was, and I'm not putting down differences of how we were baptized, but how many to you was an incredibly significant event? Maybe a real right out there. And it doesn't matter if it was right out there or not, a very subdued. I got baptized in water with Bev in Knowles Dam. I just went under the water, came up again. But to me, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit first. I came to this group of people who were so on fire for God they were so conscious of the presence of God that I couldn't help but look where they were looking. I couldn't help but get my eyes focused on what they were looking at. Do you know, if people are watching you, they're going to see where you are focused. They're going to see where my focus is. And that's what the church is. He said, "You were a city set on a hill, a light. You're a light in a very dark place, every single one of us." And Jesus, he is our light. He is our light and our salvation. What does it say in Psalm? "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I'm boasting, brothers and sisters. I'm boasting here. You know, you get people boasting about their strength, boasting about what they can do, boasting about what they've accomplished. Well, none of you got anything in that realm to boast about. We're a pack of misfits, pack of hopeless cases, except for one thing. We can boast in the Lord. We can boast in the one who never fails, the one who is risen from the dead, the one who is both Lord and Christ. And he's more than that. Let him who boasts, the Bible said, boast in the Lord. So I love it when people start boasting in the Lord, because it's about him. And I tell you what, when I went to that group, that's what I saw. I saw where their focus was. I saw where their hearts were. And I liked what I saw, and it made me look to where they were looking. And I knew God is in this place. Man, you come into that group when everybody's heart is burning, focused on the presence of God. Everybody's heart is on fire. You know, sometimes you come to church and you wonder, where are you guys at? Sometimes. Me as well. You know, sometimes I come to church and I need to be slapped around a bit. Say, David, where's your focus, you miserable coot? You know, what are you worried about? What are you so down about? You know, often I tell the story about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Miserable coots. They're walking along, they're so sad. Oh, if only this had happened, if only that had happened. Oh, if only that didn't happen in my life. And Jesus is right there. Well, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Come on, tell me. Is that the truth, that Jesus is right here? You know, when we're to preach, Jesus said, go and say that the kingdom of God is at hand. How can I say that? It's because the King of Kings is risen from the dead, and he is with me, and he's with you as a mighty, awesome one. So that every place that you go, you bring him with you, because he's the one that said he would never leave me or forsake me, but he is with me, he is with you as a mighty, awesome one. So that's what he's commanding the disciples here. He first of all has to rebuke their unbelief. Has to rebuke what their unbelief and hardness of heart. Come on, look, what hardens our hearts? Disappointments, disillusionments, you know, things that go wrong. Am I the only one that those things affect? It does, doesn't it? People let you down, don't they? Has anybody ever been let down by anybody? Where's it hurt the most? It's when your family lets you down, doesn't it? Yeah, because that's very close. You know, other people, oh, they're just a so-and-so. You know, but when it's family. I'm saying that in a kidding way, okay? That was not right. But we get disappointed. We get disillusioned by what people do to us. And our hearts become, calloused, isn't it? Calloused, hardened. And what we do is I'm not going to let that hurt me again. So what do? We harden. We harden our hearts. Because we say, I'm not going to let that hurt me again. I'm going to be stronger. That's a very brittle kind of strength. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I remember the words of a song, and it was, I am loved, you are loved, I can risk loving you, for the one who loves me most loves me the best. And when you're resting in that kind of love, yes, things hurt that people do to you, but when you're resting and secure in that kind of a love, you can never be moved. You can never be shaken. That is the truth. He is with you. He is with me. We are in that kind of a love. And he's the one who times needs to rebuke us for our hardness and our unbelief. You don't know what I've been through, Lord. You don't know what's happened in my life. Well, he's not really that interested in that sense about what's happened in your life, because right now the one who can do anything is with you. And what he says is, well, you can give me your history report of all the wrong things that have happened, all the bad things that happened, and say that's why you are like you are, and that's why you will never change from this point on. Or you can look to the one who's right here right now and says, I can do anything. And it's not going to be conditioned by your history report. It's going to be conditioned by whether you will trust me and believe me with all of your heart. Nothing is impossible with our God, our Father. And I love it that he's our Father through Christ. I love that. He's our Father. You know, there's something good about that. I read through the Bible and you read through all these weird and wonderful characters, and look at us all here, weird and wonderful characters. Think about Jonah. Here's a man, he's zealous for God, and then God tells him to go somewhere where he doesn't want to go, so he runs away. And then God gets a hold of him. He runs away in a boat, trying to, you know, Jonah was a man who God called to go to this city of Nineveh and preach the word of God to them. Tell them how much I love them. You know, Jonah thought, I'm not going there. Those Ninevites, bunch of rat bags. Absolute, well, I'm using that word. The Ninevites were the ones that came and attacked Israel. They actually killed women and children. He knew, as a prophet, he knew that was going to happen. So he said, I'm not doing that, God. I don't want those scumbags to come and know your love, because you're a merciful God. I'm not going to go and tell them. So he runs the other way, gets in a boat, runs the other way. And what does God do? He makes a huge storm come. And he's asleep in the bottom of the boat. You know, sometimes we're prophets of God, we're witnesses, and sometimes we're so asleep, aren't we? We're like Jonah, hardness of heart, not going to do that. Love of God's not burning anymore, because there are a bunch of rat bags out there. You don't know what they'd say or what they could do to me. So we're asleep in the bottom of the boat, so God starts, you know, I've told this over and over again, God's shaking up the whole world. Who's got to wake up first? Who's got to wake up first? You and I, to realise there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. They must be saved. So he starts shaking everything up. They're sinking. This storm is so bad, they're throwing all their cargo off to sea for to deliver this cargo. Chucking it all out because now their lives are at stake. Still, everybody's crying out to their different gods. Don't you see people crying out to their different gods now? All the proclamation about all these different gods, well, time will prove whether they are a god or not, whether they're real or not. And so throwing it out, and then they find Jonah asleep in the bottom of the boat. What are you doing sleeping? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll listen to us. You know what Jonah said? He finally woke up, said, well, look, this is a storm. This storm is here for my sake. Because I ran away from the real God, who controls everything. And you know what he says to him? He says, throw me into the sea. Sometimes we can get so pessimistic, can't we? God, kill me. I can't do what you've told me to do. Well, God already knows that. He already knows I can't do it and you can't do it. That's why when we're baptized... When we're baptized, you know what the Bible says? When we're united with Christ in baptism, we die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our biggest problem, you and I. See, here's poor Jonah, throw me into the drink, kill me. Having this little pity party and whinge party and like a real martyr. So they don't want to do it, and they're crying out to God and say, God, don't judge us for this. They throw him in there. God's already prepared. I like that. He's already prepared this big fish, swallows him up, and then anyway, the fish coughs him up on the land near Nineveh. God's got his ways and his means. Have you been felt like you've been coughed up somewhere? Well, cheer up. Cheer up, because God is still with you. He never leaves. He never forsakes. And you know, where do I start on with Jonah? Jonah is in the belly of this fish for 3 days or 3 nights. Think about Jesus. He's in the belly of this fish for 3 nights. And I don't know the story, but it says when he comes to Nineveh, he goes through Nineveh, preaches, God's going to burn the whole place down. You know, full of compassion he was, and just repent, you rotten so-and-sos, God's going to judge you. And he said what he needed to say. Then he went out on the hillside, and the Bible says that he on the hillside, and he was watching to see what would happen with the city. I wonder if, I think what was happening in his heart, he's hoping the whole lot would get judged. His heart, he's done what he's supposed to have done, but not with the right attitude. And so he's on the mountainside walking. And the Bible says God had prepared this plant that grew up over him. And it provided shade and protection from the wind and the sun. And they say that maybe when he was in the fish, the gastric juices of the fish might have affected his whole, you know, flesh. And maybe he was really feeling it. And so Jonah was really glad for this plant that shaded him and protected him from the wind. And then God prepares a worm that eats the plant. And Jonah's a miserable wretch by then. You know, he's watching for something, a bit of hope that maybe Nineveh will get judged. But the issue was in Nineveh, they'd all repented and got right with God. Isn't that good? It wasn't good to Jonah. He said, haven't even got any relief there. My plant's gone. And he was so angry. And, you know, God comes along and says to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? You know what Jonah said? He says, yes, even to death. Man, we can get so angry about things that happen and disillusioned about things and so hardened and all that. We believe God, we know God, but God is wanting to show his heart. But even when I read that, I think God is just like a father in the way that he responds to Jonah. Here's Jonah spitting chips and I'm angry enough to die. Yes, even to die. It's almost like he's shaking his fist at God. And God just looks at him like his little boy. You'll learn. I love you, but I love them as well. And he said, Jonah, you had compassion for a plant that died. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't cause it to grow. You did nothing. But you had more compassion for that plant than you did for all those people. And he said, there are over 10,000 babies in that city that don't even know their left hand from their right hand. And he said, should I not have had compassion on a whole city? You know, I believe there's going to become I just feel it right now. If you will open your hearts, there's such a compassion of God that's going to flow because he's wanting us to lift up our eyes and see the harvest. And he's wanting to see through his eyes. You know, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw the multitude, can somebody tell me what he was moved with? He was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. God, and he healed, and he restored, and he loved them. The power of God flowed. And I just believe that that's what this whole world is hungering and thirsting for. They want to see who? Jesus. They don't want to see our great works, our great achievements, what we've done in God or whatever. That's why I say I don't want to build a great church. That's the one that builds the church. I want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit and see that work that he's called us to do, each and everyone. Incredible differences. We're all different. I like it. You've got quiet ones and you've got loud ones. You've got all different sorts because God wants to reach everyone everywhere. And we are the means to do that, you and I. But the issue is it's not us. It's Christ in us that's going to. And this is what baptism is all about. Baptism, and just quickly I'll finish with this. Baptism, I like to say it's like three different services. Baptism is a funeral service. That doesn't sound too encouraging, does it? Who dies? We do. The Bible says if we're united with him in his burial, that's what baptism is, as we go down in the waters, we will be united with him in his resurrection as well. So it's a funeral service. So if you're struggling with things that the devil keeps reminding you, Karen talked about God remembers our sins no more. Take the devil. You know, what's it about the funeral where they're buried? Here lies. Here lies Karen Jaspers. So when the devil comes to Karen Jaspers and starts telling all the wrong things she's... Karen says, come on, devil, come with me. Come here. Here lies. I was baptized into Christ Jesus. I was united with him in his death. There she lies. Wasn't that awesome? It deals with, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creation. Old things, they lie right there. All of them. So it's, first of all, it's a funeral service. And that's good. Here lies the old. Then it's a resurrection service. I like resurrection services. Because if we're united with him in his death, we will be united with him in what? His resurrection. What about resurrection's new life, isn't it? He fills us with his Holy Spirit, with his power, with his love, with his grace, with his mercy. You know, if a dead man's rise, what can't a dead man do? He can't walk. Can't walk. You know, he can't breathe either. We breathe. We just breathe. God gives us air. We breathe in the Holy Spirit. You rise and you start walking. Here rises at the baptism service. And the last one that I want to talk about is the baptism is like a marriage service. Two people become one. Two people become one. So Christ, when he died for every one of us. But when he rose for every one of us. That we would be united with him in his heart, in his purpose, in his passion, and in his power. What is it about a marriage service? That the woman marries the man, takes the man's name, so that all that he has is hers as well. So that's what baptism is about. We're baptized, Cassandra, into his name. All that he has is now yours and Tennille's as well. Isn't that awesome? And it's not because of you saying, okay, God, I'm going to try to be a good girl for at least a month. And he'll say, oh, you've been a good girl. Okay, I'll give you all these benefits. No, it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because you're born into a family. Every baby that's been born into a family automatically receives the name, receives all the benefits of that family. You might not understand it, but as they grow, as they mature, and then as they understand it, they receive it and start to walk in it. It's as simple as that and as easy as that as well. It's by faith, confidence. And I love that about faith. It's like a family, isn't it? Where faith just grows naturally, confidence out of love and security and faith as well.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.